The Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
6:11 kicking off your Monday. 13 degrees, it's 104.7 Triple M. JR and Snowy filling in for Root and Dits. The boys officially on annual leave for 2016. Thanks to Chibo, order the new Chibo app, which I've got on the phone.
Have you?
Could win a Ferrari 360 Spider.
Oh,
if
yes,
you
I heard
don't
that.
Mind.
Thank you very much. Snowman, you came in this morning, you red around the eyes, your nose was dribbling. But that's just you. There's nothing wrong with you. That's how you are. No, I offered you a hay fever tablet
Thank
this
you.
Morning. I'm a drug peddler.
I didn't realize they came in a blue pill.
Is that why you're standing up? There's a bit around this morning, and I didn't get a hay fever until I was about in my 30s, and it just came out of the blue from nowhere.
Yep.
And I get it really badly. It affects my throat, eyes. You know, people who've got it know what it's about. Those that don't understand,
no,
because it's got a funny name, hay fever. It sounds like a bit of a soft illness.
Not
it is
all.
Debilitating. It can ruin your day. And as we've just heard this morning, yesterday at the news broke, there's now a sixth person has died in Melbourne from asthma storm. Yeah, where they had such big winds, the dust and everything churned up. There were five dead and lots in high dependency. A sixth person has died. That is just unheard of, isn't it? Dying from basically, hay fever, but other
I've never heard of it.
Issues.
Never heard of this asthma cloud, ever.
So it's around this morning, folks. Not as bad as in Melbourne, but there's a bit of in the air.
We went to a friend's birthday. He was turned 16 last night, young Jack, and everyone around, you could tell who was suffering from hay fever because the napkins weren't being used to wipe your hands from the crumbs. Everyone was just in tears.
Yeah.
Blowing their nose.
It's awful.
And the amount of hay that's been ripped off some of the farms, it's been their best crop ever.
Yeah.
One of their best.
Heavy rains, more pollen, more seed, more everything else. Hideous stuff. But I'm on a spray. I use a spray and I have to start it about probably
October. So
you
don't use the blue pills now?
No, off the pills. I gave you the pills. I'm stacked up with those. I'm on the spray thing.
Up the nose.
And if I don't use it, I couldn't go to work today if I didn't take it.
I remember last year in the past few years, I'd take three or four of the Zadine or the Clarentine, whatever, and that would get me through for the year. I just need that three or four to get me started. Not now.
No.
Oh, no.
No, and this season, this summer, is going to be very, very, very bad.
Hey, Kadena and Moonta on SA's Your Peninsula. Stand up if you can. It might be impossible because it's been revealed that Kadena and Moonta are the two suburbs with the worst weight problems, John, in the state. 74.2% of those people living there are suffering, basically obesity. They're overweight.
Goodness me.
They're big choppers.
They're great towns, that whole York Peninsula. And, you know, they've got access to some pretty good walking areas, I would have thought, especially near the beach. Yeah.
Mm. No. They're big bummers there. The lowest number of overweight people in the state, with a figure that's much slimmer at 48.9, is back here in the inner city. And smoking, believe it or not, in the northern suburbs, you've got to put out the darts.
Got to get off that.
Elizabeth has topped the rankings. 32.8% of people out in Elizabeth smoke the darts. Burnside, not surprisingly, the lowest level at 10.2.
Yeah, well, the council up there is pretty tough. They've banned it.
That'll do it. So 10% are still getting away with it.
they're a pretty active council Burnside. I don't know if they've completely stamped it out, but I know they're not keen on it.
Cricket now.
Yes. Well, we've won one. We've won
Yay!
A game. We won a test or whatever it is. We won the. Yeah,
it was
we did.
A dead
we
rubber, won wasn't it?
No, we won. We actually won by 7 wickets or something with all the new blokes. You got to feel for Callum. Now, they've had success, so they probably won't change the team for whatever comes in the next, whenever they're playing next. But, you know, Callum Ferguson, he gets in there, finally gets in there, made a handful of runs, got run out. So, you know, take your green cap and off you go. In comes some new people that weren't in the first pick, and they've had a bit of success. And so they're not going anywhere, I wouldn't imagine.
Stay.
No. Well, two debutants actually saw the game out and saw the victory roll over. It's just, I don't know, I feel for people like Callum Ferguson. Dream to play for Australia, and you get one chance.
And that's it.
You make one mistake, whereas other people in that side get a lot of turns.
They do, don't they?
Dave Warner's had a bad trot.
Mm.
He's not going anywhere.
No.
He will remain.
He's from New South Wales.
Is he?
Ah,
right.
Yeah. So you've got a bit of a theory, haven't you? If you play for New South Wales.
If you wear a blue cap, you're in.
I tell you what, the Adelaide Oval looked magnificent.
Oh, and well done. What a great
Interestingly,
four or five
though, there was a bit of hoo-ha last week about the beer because it went over $9.
Yeah.
And then West End said, no, We're bringing it down. So they brought it down to $8.90.
Yeah, where it was before.
Where it was before. Mm. Interestingly, though, so that's a 3% reduction in beer costs. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you mostly need to drink 30 beers to then finally get one for free. Right. But not only that. Not only that.
Is that the offer? Drink 30, get one free.
Yeah, well, that's what it works out to be by the time you've spent that much. But interestingly, though, they're pouring a 375ml can into a 425ml cup. So you're getting 12% less than what you're actually
paying. They just make the head bigger to bring it up to the top.
Shake it up, boys. Shake it up. 6:17.
We'll talk to KG a bit later on, too, about things cricket and footy.
Mm.
The great man.
Okay.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Roo and Ditz. The boys off for 2016, though, back in 2017 for about 6 weeks. That's all they really do, isn't it? About 6 weeks.
Well, they work hard during the year. They get up. You know what it's like. Mm. You get up every morning at 5 o'clock or earlier.
Yeah.
You don't get up till 5:30.
Correct.
Got here at 6:01.
Hey, great game of cricket over the weekend. The Australian team, we don't know any of them, but well done.
They're all new.
Did a great job.
Yeah, finally, a breakthrough, a win.
Mm. But there's no point talking cricket unless you get one of the greatest South Australian icons on the radio and
correct.
Talk cricket. Of course, we're talking about the one and only KG Cunningham. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning, Snowy. Good morning, JR. Yes, wasn't it nice to get back in the winner's circle?
Well, goodness me. It was. How did you sum up the whole arrangement, that whole South Africa v Australia, KG? There was controversy, drama.
Yeah, there was.
Callum Ferguson, for example, getting the chop, should have been given a second chance. It's one of the most colourful test series we've had, really.
Well, it is, JR and Snowy, but look, the selectors got it horribly wrong. There's no doubt about that. Jackson Bird should have played in Hobart when he missed out. That was his home ground. He played in Adelaide. Young Chad Sayers should have played this game in Adelaide, even though the boys won. They got the selection wrong there. And Callum Ferguson, to be given one test match, was an absolute disgrace. Like, the kid's come back from two knee reconstructions, fought his way back in, got a couple of hundreds early in the year, and then gets one test match and is on his bike. They got the whole thing wrong. And hopefully now, with a bit of young blood in the big Australian side, it'll rejuvenate the enthusiasm. And it was good to get a win. Very good, actually.
Cage, do you reckon the team we saw over the last few days, is that going to be our test side for a while? Or do you think there are going to be some more fiddling about?
No. I've been saying for weeks now, Snowy and JR, they've got to get Travis Head, the captain of South Australia. I know I'm biased, but I've seen this kid. He's a terrific player. He's a left-hander. He got 100 against Victoria just recently in this Presidents' Shield game. He's the one that they've got to get in to the middle order. He is an outstanding talent. They get him back into the side, I'll be fine. But he's got to get in.
KG, with Rod Marsh now moving on, do you think it's time for a whole new batch of selectors to come into Australian cricket? Because to me, it just seems too much of a boys' club, and they're only really picking who they may favour as opposed to what's right for the Australian cricket fraternity.
Well, I think getting Greg Chappell into the selection panel at the moment may have straightened a few things out, but as I said to you earlier, they've got the whole thing wrong from day one. Like, sending Steve Smith home from the Sri Lankan tour halfway through, resting Mitchell Stark when he was told not to bowl in the second innings of the New South Wales game. He was underdone. It's just been an absolute mess. Now, hopefully, with some young kids into the side, and I can say this to you, and this is a bit controversial.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I believe that Chad Sayers was told that he was in the side, but I think you'll find that somebody pulled the pin on him and wanted Jackson Bird into the side, and that to me was disappointing.
KG,
I'll probably get chopped for saying it, but that's my mail that Chad Sayers believed he was in this pleasant test match. Only to miss out. So hopefully those things are behind us now. We're back on the winning list.
You're saying that the selectors didn't agree. Something got out that Sayers was in. The other two or three said, hang on, no, that's not right. There was confusion at the top echelon.
Well, someone pulled rank. That's my mail.
Whoa, that is huge.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but
well, hey, watch New KG. It's daily occurrence, old boy.
It just gets deeper and deeper.
Mate, they can't touch you. You've given your whole life to sport. No one can touch you. You say what you like, mate, because you normally get it bloody right.
Yeah, well, my ma wasn't. He thought he was in the side, but someone pulled the pin on it.
Goodness me. Well, he's not from New South Wales, Cage, so, you know.
Exactly.
It's the hard way in. Hey, what do you think quickly, mate, of the draft, of course, the new players down at Port and the new players down at Westlakes?
Well, we spoke to both the clubs on Triple M on Saturday morning, and naturally they were delighted with what they got. Mm. Port got three midfielders, likewise. Adelaide has a big rap on this kid, Jordan Gallucci.
Yeah.
They tell me he's, he's been... It was Darren Buick who compared him to Joan Johansson, who plays for the Western Bulldogs. So if the kid's got that much talent, he's going to be all right. And Port Adelaide got this young boy, Todd Marshall, who's a good kid, good cricketer. So they'll be fine. And the other thing about the draft is that I reckon Adelaide will get Benjamin now on the rookie list.
Yeah, that's where he should be. I mean, it'd be a shame to see him. Look, you know, as we've seen over the years, KG, they get picked for a team and they've got an allegiance to something they've grown up with or whatever, and they don't care. They just love to play. They want to play AFL footy. But
would be fantastic for young Ben to join Adelaide. Yeah. And I think he'll find that he'll get, hopefully, if he misses out the pre-season draft tonight, the rookie draft is after that, he gets picked up in the rookie draft and we've got... our first father-son rule, which will be terrific, boys. Absolutely.
If not, we might sneak him in down at Alberton, Cage.
I beg your pardon?
What's wrong with that, Cage?
JR.
Yes.
You were a friend of mine, but things have changed, Snowy and JR.
Wouldn't that...
Watch your mouth out.
Wouldn't that be a rub if he ended up down the road?
You couldn't possibly see Benjamin in a power jumper. Oh, I tell you what, hey, I'd stop following footy.
Do you know what, KG? I reckon... if my memory serves me right, I reckon about 18 years ago you said the same thing about Kane and Chad Corns to your old mate as well.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Right.
But Studley let me down, the old Studley Corns. God.
Yeah. Well, it's not the first time, is it?
Both boys they love the club and, you know, they're still involved.
Oh, hang on. I'm never going to talk about the Crows this morning.
Oh, sorry, Kate. Well, you know, they get back in front page every day in the advertiser, but...
Meow.
The Crowtizer.
Oh, now you're in trouble now.
You've led me down the path again, KG.
Hey, mate, if we don't chat to you before Christmas, have a ripper Christmas, mate. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to hear you.
You too, Snowy and JR, and you got 6 weeks? Goodness,
no, just the 3 weeks.
No, we're only trusted with 3, KG, and they don't think we'll make that. We'll cock it up before the end of that, and we'll be off. I'll see you over the summer, Kent, for a luncheon at our place.
Yeah, JR, I owe you one, son, so I'll catch up.
Have you been invited to the palace, Kenneth? Have you been invited in?
He's been down and had lunch at our place.
I have. It's like royalty, Snowy. It's unbelievable.
What's he charging for the whiting? $18.90 or $19.90?
No, $30 a plate of prawns.
On you, Ken. Good on you, mate.
See you, mate.
The legend that is KG Cunningham.
He's a great fella, KG. Won't have a bad word said. I worked with him a long time ago, and he's just one of those blokes you fall in love with him. He's just a corker.
Triple M. Top today of 29. Nice and warm.
Beautiful.
Mostly sunny. 13 degrees it is at the moment. JR and Snowy filling in for Roo and Ditz. The boys have nicked off for 2016 back next year thanks to Chibo, where you can order on the new Chibo app for your chance to win a Ferrari 360 Spider, if you don't mind.
What would you do with it? Would you keep it or would you sell it?
Absolutely. No,
would you
keep it?
They're a classic, aren't
Spider,
they?
A 360 Spider, yeah. Ooh, Wouldn't mind one at all.
In red. Hey, Snowman, I foolishly asked you a foolish question a moment ago. I said, do you like pets? And you quickly reminded me that for a number of years you ran the farm. I suspect you don't mind a pet.
Don't mind a pet. Don't mind a pet or two. Don't like pigeons, but I don't mind a pet.
No, I can do without the pigeons. Hey, there's a thing, the Paw Shake, which is a group that, you know, obviously involved with pets. They've done a survey, and there's some remarkable things in this. Paw Shake found 87.5% of Australians wouldn't rent or buy their dream home if it didn't allow their beloved pet. So you're looking at an apartment, but the building says, you can't have pets. No, I won't live there. I'll live somewhere. 87.5%.
Wankers.
But this is the one that is really troubling me. 67% of people in this survey by Pawshake, Australians, would choose a pet over a child if they could only afford one or the other.
After the argument my wife and eldest daughter had last night, at 9:30 at night when I'm just going to bed.
Yeah.
And you know, you just
and you've done
sleep.
Your prep for this show.
I'd done a you'd lot of prep.
You put in all of the afternoon prepping for this show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was very tired.
Yeah.
And you just hit that part of the sleep where you're into deep sleep.
Mm.
And then World War III starts.
And they did it just outside the bedroom door.
Just outside the bedroom window, which is very convenient.
Let's go over here and have a ding-dong right by Uncle Snowy's bedroom.
Or Daddy Snowy.
Yeah, Daddy Snowy.
Daddy Snowy. Mm.
So, yeah, Uncle Snowy was out that day.
I would have quite easily traded in my daughter for a ferret, anything. I don't care. I would have been very happy, John.
67% would choose a pet. This is I'm reading this over a child if they could only afford one or the other. I would love to know from our dear listeners if that is so.
Well, whether they've chosen a pet over
a child. Well, if they've done it, but if they would do it, if that is true, if that's a true statistic, that most people, that's 67% is most.
Wow.
Would choose a pet over a child if they could afford only to have one or the other.
133353.
Remarkable.
I don't think anyone in Adelaide would do this, surely. Surely not, John. 133353. So what do you want to know? You want the people of Adelaide to call, the family to call?
I want to know if that is so. If you could only afford one or the other, you would opt for a pet rather than a child.
Mm. What pet would you have?
Oh, I'd want a chimp.
Well, there's one missing at the moment. You got it.
Oh,
you stole the
secret's
monkey.
Out.
Imagine that.
No, I want one of those red-ass baboons. You know, the ones with the big, bright, pink butt cheeks hanging around my place.
You're married to one, aren't you? No. Love the heather.
She's fully shaved down. You know, I think, are they a baboon or are they
something like that. I could imagine you with a chimp.
Or are they a gibbon? Is it a gibbon that's got the big red pink bum?
Do the funky gibbon. 133353. Call now. What do you want to know?
Well, is this survey says 67% of Australians would choose a pet over a child if they could afford only one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's opting for not having kids.
No,
but having.
Have you done so? Do you love your pets more than either having children or than your children that you've already got?
And with the housing thing, 87% said they wouldn't rent or buy their dream home if it didn't allow their pets to be a part of it.
133353. 640 it is at 104.7 Triple M.
Brew and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Brew and Dits, they are away for 2016. JR John Riddell, the good-looking bloke from 7 News.
Ah, you're only saying that because
it's true.
It's true.
And Snowy here this morning as well. Top of 29 today. Mm. Gorgeous day. 13 it is at the moment. Great day for getting up, walking the pets, John.
That is. And we've stumbled across this survey. A couple of things stagger me. 87.5% of Australians surveyed wouldn't rent or buy their dream home if it didn't allow their pooch to be there. 67% of Australians would choose a pet over a child if they could only afford one or the other. And the last one we were talking about, 77.5% admitted they would be more angry at their child than their pet for ruining a piece of furniture at home. I find that also incredible. But we did ask, what has your pet done to your house?
Yes, Daniel Craig. Sorry, it's not Daniel Craig. It's Daniel of Craigmore. Good morning.
Jimmy
Hello,
Bond.
Daniel. Yeah. Hey, Daniel.
How are you guys?
All right, yourself?
Good, thanks. Good,
now,
thanks.
What pet did you have?
American Staffy Cross German Shepherd.
Oh. Righto. A reasonably big dog?
Fairly big dog, yep.
Fairly
big dog.
What trail of destruction did it put upon you?
Look, there's been three separate instances. The first time was about a week after we brought him home. He we left him inside because it was a bit of a wet day and he had this issue with thunder and whatnot. So we left him inside and came home to find the cushions on the couch ripped off and shredded into pieces. our internet modem outside, the power pack for the modem still in the wall, but absolutely chewed to pieces, holes in the curtains, rubbish bag everywhere all over the floor and the side of the car pulled up. So then we figured we wouldn't leave him inside anymore, so we started leaving him outside and went on a holiday and let my brother babysit the dog for us and got a call the last day of our cruise just saying, look, I'm sorry, but I left the back door open for the dog and he got inside and He's destroyed the TV cabinet now. He's chewed a whole bunch of controllers. He's pulled all your collectible video games out and chewed those. So, and then we came home after that, and I built a table out for the outdoor area, and 50 mil square leg, and he chewed that. So I have to replace the 50 mil square leg on three sides.
Don't want to get rid of the dog.
Can I ask, is Pooch still alive or not?
Yeah, no, he's still alive. He's still alive. So he's only a puppy, so... You know, tell him not to do it again and hope he doesn't do it again. So. Yeah.
Wait until he's full size. Goodness me.
I think we found our winner for a double pass to Wallace Cinemas. You and the dog can go along and go and watch a movie of some sort. Good on you, Daniel. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Good luck with the dog.
Wow. Helena Port Wallunga, your pooch destroyed some stuff.
Yes. My son's dog, when we got him about 4 years ago from the RSPCA,
oh, good on you.
He got hold of my glasses I had left on the middle of the table and took them outside and destroyed them.
Yeah.
I can't remember a few other things that between my son's dog and mine, what they've destroyed. a few things. And especially my son's dog outside with hard plastics.
Yeah.
Like garden hose reel, chairs and whatever. He's even tried raking the lawn just to put the rake up against the fence and chew the rake handle. And that was funny to watch. And
you still love your dog though, even though it's
yeah, that's my son's dog.
Yeah.
And my dog, just only a few weeks ago, chewed my $1,000 hearing aid, or one of my hearing aids.
Oh.
Yeah, so my son's dog chewed my $1,000 reading glasses.
Yeah.
And everyday glasses, and only a few weeks ago, my son, my own dog, destroyed my hearing aids.
Oh,
and
you got to, Helen, you got to feed the dog. You can't feed it glasses and hearing aids.
Well, obviously, didn't need the hearing aids though, because she still heard us to say ring on 133353, and she called through.
Well, that's it, and didn't need the glasses there to find the dial, the number on the dial.
We fixed her. She's we fixed her up. She's
Helen
cured.
Helen is cured.
104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M, 8:19 it is for your Monday morning. JR and Snowy filling in for Rue and Ditch, the boys off on their Chrissy break back in 2017. Top today of 29, 19 degrees it is at the moment. A lot of people, I'm sure, suffering hay fever, John, as we speak.
Oh, what about this incident in Melbourne where it's now the total... number of people have died with this dust storm that they got and pollen. Six people.
It's huge.
And still people in intensive care in a couple of hospitals in Victoria. Mm. All because of this instant effect and just triggered asthma and chronic hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they couldn't breathe.
One man that can tell us more about it, Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Tell us about what happened in Melbourne exactly. It was a combination of dust, which had then inciting asthma and hay fever combined into one.
Yeah, that's right. To understand it, the first thing to say is that the underlying problem is relating to an allergy. So typically people with asthma have what's called an atopic or suffer from something called atopy, which is a genetic condition, and it's characterized by this heightened allergic response to substances in the environment, particular sort of pollens and grass and dust, things that we typically find in spring. And people who have atopy don't necessarily get asthma. There's three conditions, and you've already named one of them, which is hay fever is the typical one, and eczema and asthma. The three are very closely linked. So what we believe is happening is after a really severe thunderstorm, in actual fact, the pollens in the environment are just heightened. The water sort of in the ground actually releases them in huge quantities. And what's probably happened is people who have this underlying predisposition, some of whom I believe were unaware that they even had a predisposition to asthma, have breathed them in, and it's got into their lungs, and they've just had a massive allergic reaction, and it's been fatal for some of them. It's horrible.
Unbelievable. Mm. Well, right across South Australia with the rains we've had, particularly you just look around the Adelaide Hills, everything's green and lush, and I guess as that dries off, are we going to get a rush of pollens being released as we go into summer?
Yeah, well, typically the end of spring is the time that we see the pollens really, really prevalent in the environment, and people who suffer from hay fever and that will be coming to the GP going, oh, you know, it's driving me nuts, and they'll be getting really bad sort of symptoms at that time. So we are certainly at that time at the moment, and I think this year's been a funny one with all the weather changes, hasn't it? So, like, we're seeing a lot of people coming in at the moment with really bad allergies, and so definitely at the moment.
I'm a hay fever sufferer, and I can't exist if I get a if I don't have a treatment. I can't function. And people, I think, would it be fair to say, Lane, that people underestimate that those that don't have hay fever seem to write it off as some, you know, flippant, you know, it's a minor illness. It is not.
Oh,
if you get it badly, it's hideous.
Oh, it's horrendous. And people who do get it badly, I mean, it, you know, as you would clearly know, I mean, they can be completely out of action for ages and be scared to go outside, you know, because it's just, you know, particularly because the triggers are so invisible in the environment, you know, it can seem like a really pleasant day and then all of a sudden it just hits them. And this is, I guess, a really a good example of why these allergies are so serious, because people may not be aware that they, you know, they think, oh, yeah, it's just a bit of hay fever. They don't really realise that if it gets into your airways and that, it can actually cause a very serious and life-threatening reaction.
So the best way to go is still the sprays, the nasal sprays and the antihistamine tablets and that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, I think the best... A couple of things. I mean, if someone is an asthma sufferer, this is a really good reminder to sort of say that if you haven't seen your GP about your asthma, please do. I mean, asthma is a very, you know, affects 1 in 10 people in Australia. And you know, people get it in different severities, but asthma can be deadly, as we've just seen. It can be fatal. So if you are not seeing somebody, if you haven't had a review for asthma, you should, because particularly coming into the springtime, we have medications like the preventers that can sort of reduce the severity of the attacks. Mm. And in the same, by the same token, yes, if people have really bad hay fever or eczema, this is the time it's often going to be flaring up. And being aware that there are preventative measures that can be taken is really important. So if you're not aware of them, a trip to the GP is a good one. But yes, nasal sprays is one. And even if somebody's much more severe now, we have the desensitization therapies, which is something to consider. So, yeah, there's lots of quite good information available now, but you obviously have to go and speak to your doctor about them to work out what's suitable for you.
Good on you, Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe. Thank you so much
Cheers,
for man. Your time this morning.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Monday it is. Ruined Dits. They are away for 2016. JR and Snowy filling in for the boys. Top of 29 today. 16 at the moment. Get that new Chibo app, ladies and gents, for your chance to win a Ferrari 360 Spider. This is one of the nicest cars ever. Just
beautiful,
elegant,
shape.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Now, if you don't win, runners up. How's this? They're going to receive a prancing horse
Tirana.
Supercar. I'd take the Tirana.
Would you?
Oh yeah.
GTRX, you want?
They'll win a. Yes, please. I saw an orange one yesterday.
They're nice. Good.
A prancing horse supercar drive day for them and a friend that winds through the Adelaide Hills and the Barossa Valley featuring the new Ferrari 458 Italia and the Lamborghini Huracan LP 610.
Goodness me. Right.
Now, you were a bit scared this morning.
Bit Fridays. I had an encounter the other day with a brown snake.
Where?
Down at Goolwa. Little pathway goes down to the beach.
Yep.
Been doing this trek, going down to get some waves for years and years and years. Have seen a couple over the years, but we were coming back from the beach, and when the kids were little, we'd walk along this trail and we'd sing, you know, a bit of Kumbaya or, you know, whatever was, a bit of anything AC/DC, because we figured that us singing
would
scare the snakes away.
No.
We learnt some 10 years after this that snakes are deaf.
Yeah, they don't have ears.
No ears. No listeners on the side of the head. No. So all that was wasted. But so we now stamp very heavily. So we're coming back from the beach.
In
we
sand.
Just
you stamp very heavily in sand.
as hard as you can stamp in sand. Yeah, in sand hills. It's not very loud. So anyway, came over this little crest and there's Barry Brown.
Oh.
And it was quite thick.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost the girth of a cricket bat handle.
Jesus, yeah.
solid chap.
Good 5-6
and
footer
a, then. And a darker, not that really pale brown. No. I've seen a few snakes. Yeah. And as they say in the manual, it'll get out of your way. I don't ever believe that, but it actually did. Mm. It scurried off very quickly. But to see it within a metre and a half, like two more steps, I would have been
scary.
I would have been all over him. And this was only last week. So the stamping of the feet theory possibly did help a little bit. He did clear off. but we read in the...
What do you reckon? He went, oh, my God, it's that family that sings.
It's the family from Sound of Music. Here they are, the Von Trapps. But we read over the weekend in the Sunday Mail that this is going to be a huge season for snakes.
Absolutely.
And they're everywhere. Already, we're hearing that SA Ambulance have treated a person for a snake bite every second day in the first 3 weeks of November.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
That is huge.
So they're out and about. So, I mean, you've had a close encounter.
I remember when we first bought the Harndorf Farm Barn years ago, I got very scared. I'll tell you about that in a sec because I think we just got – we've got Corey Renton.
Oh, from Snakeaway.
Corey Renton on the phone who's actually give us a call through. Corey, good morning, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. And yourself?
Good, Corey. According to Snakeaway, you and your dad, Ian, this is going to be a shocking season.
We're expecting it to be quite a busy and quite a long season because of the weather we've had being wet, hot, wet, hot, wet, hot.
Yeah.
It's brought out the rodents a lot more, and it's going to have the rodents in a lot more force, which means snakes are going to be out a lot more in the residential areas.
So if you've got mice or worse around your property, and this goes into the rural and into the country areas and the beachside, is that what is drawing them to your place, if you've got mice and things like that?
That's one of the main draw factors, yes.
Right.
Being nomadic animals, they will move on when the food's gone or when it's unsafe. So they're going to stay in an area that they've got the food, they've got the water, and they've got the shelter.
Mm.
Now, you know, a 1.2 metre brown snake can travel anywhere up to, you know, a kilometre a day in search for food, water, and shelter.
Hopefully towards your neighbours. Away from
not
your
first
place.
First time I hear that one. I hear they head to your house quite regularly.
I know. We've had a history down at Gore with snakes. We're in the Sandhill, so they do live in there, the in the bushes. And I guess if we've got mice running around the place, we need to get rid of the mice first to eliminate the threat of snakes.
Exactly.
Corey, thanks for your call, mate. Hey, just quickly, what's the best song to sing to get rid of snakes?
Yeah.
I definitely don't think it's Kumbaya.
Probably draws them. Yeah, that's true, Corey, isn't it? They're deaf.
They are.
Yeah, they're deaf, yeah.
7:45. So, as I said, years ago when we first bought the Harndorf Farm Barn, Michael Farmer, believe it or not, you know Michael, he used to work with me, we were taking some sheep to Thomas Foods, okay?
To feed them.
We had to get rid of some sheep,
right,
as you do.
Yep.
So I've never been at this particular time, which was T&R then, to Thomas Foods. So I'm in my good jeans. I'm in my good boots. Mm-hmm. I'm in my good shirt.
Mm.
Michael's just in his typical country.
Looking good, walking tall.
Looking good. So we go to T&R. We pull in and we go get told where to go and take the sheep to. And I've never done this before, so we're trying to get the sheep off the back. And anyway, one of the sheep gets away and runs off. So Michael's old saying was, why bark when you've got a dog? So he sends me off to go to try and roust up this sheep.
Mm.
So I'm running after this sheep, trying to get it back to where it's got to go to. And at the back of T&R at that stage, they had a whole lot of old just machinery that just sort of sat idle.
So oh, yeah.
A bit like a dumping yard.
Yep.
And I've ran down, I've seen the sheep. So I've just inadvertently gone, I'll run down there to go. And I've ran over this rock, and to the left of me, only about 3 meters away, is a brown snake. And
I know the feeling.
Yeah, the shivers just jolt up your back.
They're almost hypnotic. You sort of can't stop looking at them.
Correct. But I've kept running, thinking, I'll get this sheep. So I ran down the sheep. Next thing, the sheep's gone to the left. So I'm standing down the back of this paddock looking up. So now between civilization and myself,
safety
is the brown snake.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, no, 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 what do I do? So I thought, just keep following the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed the sheep up, got to the corner of the paddock, then headed up, and what's there again? Another brown snake.
Two
brown snakes. And mate, I honestly.
And they're not slow.
They're not slow.
They are not slow.
They are not slow. The thing we should have asked Corey, if you do see a snake, a venomous snake particularly, is you just got to stand still. That's the best thing to do.
That's what they tell you. Go. You don't feel that way.
No.
But it, as I found the other day, this thing just took off.
Yeah.
The only one you can't get away from is the hoop snake. Which grabs its tail in its mouth and rolls. The only way to get away, of course, is to run up a hill. Do you reckon I've got a few Americans on that one?
On that one, I bet you have.
Gee.
7:48 at Triple M. Now, you want to go to the phones on this on 1-triple-3-5-3. What do you want to know?
Snake tails. Mm. I'm fascinated by snake. I saw my first up at Broken Hill when I was just a kid, and it was in an underground tank. And it was climbing up the wall. I was transfixed. Mm. I could not move. Mm-hmm. My mother came and grabbed me, and I would have stood there until it came up to me. I see them, and you're mesmerised. I'm intrigued about people and their feelings. I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. And this thing the other day, my chest was...
Your heart would have gone.
It was going off its bracket.
1-triple-3-5-3. Where have you seen a snake?
Anyone like snakes?
No, there's not too many. 1-triple-3-5-3. Where have you seen a snake? Like, where's the most unusual spot that you've seen it? And let us know how scared you were as well. 7:49 at Triple M.
Ruined dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Top tonight of 29, 18 degrees at the moment. Good snake weather, Johnny Boyd is.
Unbelievable. We're talking to Corey Renton from Snakeaway a minute ago. They've already removed over 100 brown, black or pygmy copperhead reptiles from homes this month, just around Adelaide. And they're saying it's going to be a bumper year. All the conditions are right for...
Lots of snakes.
Lots of snakes. Slithering snakes.
1-triple-3-5-3. David Albanen has come face to face with a snake. Mate, how are you?
G'day, boys. How are you?
All right, what happened?
How'd you go, Dave?
Yeah, I used to work on a chicken farm out at Angle Bar when I was 16. Yeah. And there were 60,000 chooks in 8 different sheds. And we'd empty one shed out. The boys come in. They used to, it was a caged, the chooks were caged. Mm. So you can imagine the stacks of crap underneath there and that. The boys come in, they emptied the sheds out. And the other lads come in, they emptied the crap out. But anyway, I was told to go down and check something in the back shed. So anyway, I'd gone down there, and unbeknownst to me, there was a snake. There was 8 doors on this shed. 7 of them were padlocked, and 1 door was accessible. Now, I came check something. I was down there for a while. When I came back to check this, go out the door, there, I noticed as I was walking around the corner, there was a brown snake laid right in front of the bloody door to get out of.
The only way out.
Yeah, the only way out. So I decided what I'd do is pick up all this dry chook shit and start scrubbing it. Bloody thing. So I was missing with a few of me throws, but one or two of them landed near it, and it decided it moved. So I got out of there, and I bolted to me boss, and I just told shivers on, mate. There's a brown shed 8. I'm out of there. He said, no, come on, we've got to go and get it.
Yeah.
So I went down there, and he'd worked his way in between all the racks and that, where the chooks were laying. So we got down there. He pinned us down, and I had a shovel and gun. Hit the bloody thing, boy. Hit it. So I chopped this bloody thing's head off, and he said, right. He goes, he won't hurt nobody anymore. So he goes, right, just go and throw him out in the bushes there. Oh, so you want me to touch the bloody thing? He goes, it's dead. It's not going to hurt you. So anyway, during the day, I'd gone past it about, I don't know, 2 or 3 times, and this thing was still wriggling. And every time I went past, I was like, nah, nah, nah. I've had enough of this. So, I reckon I've worked a whole summer out there. I'd worked there for a couple of years. And anyway, I've worked there one whole season. I didn't see a snake, and I felt good. Then after that, the next summer come along, every couple of bloody days, there was a brown snake somewhere.
Yeah.
I was on ride on lawnmower, and I chopped one up. I heard this, right, and I thought, what the bloody hell was that? So I got up, and there was this bloody snake. I thought, oh, no, shit.
Dave, snake's alive at Dave's place.
Dave can keep going. I reckon if we go to a song, he'll still be going. Sarah of Coromandel Valley, good morning. How are you, Sarah?
Good, thank you.
When did you come face to face with a snake and where?
Well, first of all, coming from England, I absolutely detest snakes. So living on a farm just outside Ceduna was, you know, there's high chances of finding one, but we'd been by in the pool all day with the kids to 6 and eight at the time. And we were packing the stuff up. And the next thing, Harry goes, "Mum, snake." We hear snake. Oh. And there's like a metre and a half long brown that had been curled up in the pool cover all day.
Oh. What, within, well, like in, within metres of you and the kids?
Mm. Yeah, the kids had been playing around the pool cover all day. So this thing had probably gone, "There's no way I'm coming out there yet," until those kids were buggered off. And he got relocated to his maker.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
1.5 metres.
David Morfavale, good morning.
Hello, boys.
Yeah, you'd see a few in Murray Bridge, wouldn't you?
So I had two. I have had two incidences. When I was 13, I was in cadets, and we were up at Murray Bridge Rifle Range, and I woke up one morning and had a brown snake curled up next to my head.
Oh!
You don't mind who you sleep with, do you?
Yeah, well, I found out that that day that blank rounds in an SLR actually work really well to get rid of a snake when you put a point blank. The next one was when I was in the Army. We were up at Bulladilla Rainforest, and I had a special air service corporal in charge of our section. So as you can guess, pretty hard man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had an upset stomach. So as you can guess, you've got to do it when you've got to do it.
Yeah.
And he ran off and went to the toilet. We didn't know he was sick. And he comes back and he says, "White as a ghost." And he shows us his little shovel, and he's got little baby red-bellied black snakes. He went and dug a hole right in the middle of a red-bellied black snake nest to go to the toilet.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Michael, the man that's lived to tell a tale. Good morning. How are you, mate? Michael, you there, buddy?
G'day, Snow. It's Michael.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Mate, from Salisbury Heights, there's a few snakes out there, two-legged ones, actually, that variety. Now, you got bitten by a brownie?
Yeah, on 88. Was up the river mucking around out in the backwater with my cousin, a couple of cousin girls, and didn't know I'd been bitten, and rowed back across the backwater in a dinghy and fell out of the boat and woke up in hospital.
You didn't feel the bite, mate?
No, it actually got me underwater. So the theory of snakes don't bite underwater is I was in about 6 inches of water, and I saw the snakes swim off, but didn't think anything of it. And found out it bit me twice, and I woke up in Angston Hospital, but they didn't have anything to eat there, so then they rushed me to Royal Adelaide, and spent a week and a half in Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Gee, unpleasant.
And that's the thing with snakes. See, a brown snake, if it bites you, it's painless.
Is that right?
It's painless. They reckon with a red-bellied black snake, if it bites, it is excruciatingly painful. But for a brownie, if it bites you, you don't know about
it. Don't know.
No, you don't know about it unless you see the dots.
And they can swim. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first baby, we were up on the river, and this was a tiger. Came straight across the river, all the way across the Murray at a fair rate of knots.
Mm-hmm.
And where she was sitting on the river must have been where this particular snake liked to come out and just kept charging straight ahead. Did not alter until we got out of the way.
Well, when I used to do that,
it swam the width of the Murray.
When I used to do the reptile show at the farm barn when we had it.
You were a snake juggler.
I used to handle the snakes. So we'll handle the pythons.
Because
the pythons are a non-venomous reptile, where snakes are venomous. And I remember hearing once that they said that if you could train a snake to swim against Ian Thorpe, it would be as fast as in a 50-metre pool.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, let's save some money on the Olympic team.
No more Thorpeys.
And just launch snakes. Let's train them up.
The relay team. Red-belly black snake, brown snake, western,
the
eastern.
The inland taipan in lane 5. Swimming for Australia.
8.05. The news is coming up next.
Can you get a pair of budgie smugglers on a snake?
You could try.
Yeah.
You could try. Or just a green and yellow condom.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.